I'd like now to welcome Jan Patterson. She's the president of the Santa Fe Master Gardeners Association. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Hello, Mary Charlotte.
Great to have you. So the free garden fair is happening on Saturday, the 25th of April. We're coming on a little bit in advance to let people know about it. And that's at the county fairgrounds on Rodeo Road. What do you do at the garden fair?
We do absolutely everything we can think of to encourage people to garden responsibly in Santa Fe. We have over 40 exhibitors in the exhibit hall. We have 10 speakers, including Deborah Madison, as our keynote on what to do with what you grow in your garden.
Like eat it?
Like eat it, cook it, eat it, or not cook it and eat it. We have a children's area. We have a free resource guide. We have a huge plant sale for people to come and buy their annuals and perennials. And it's a whole day. People come 10 o'clock, stay till 4, you know, come and spend the day with us. It's awesome.
Now, when you say how to garden responsibly, it makes it sound like there's some danger if you don't.
Oh, there's no danger. It's just all about sustainability, about, you know, having that garden be there year after year and not expending a lot of chemicals and a lot of energy. And
do you do total non-chemical organic gardening?
Not necessarily. There are some, I mean, we give them their options and let them choose. So we don't really take a position necessarily, but we're always encouraging, when I say responsible, to use organic things or, you know, blast the aphids off with a garden hose as opposed to spraying them with something strong. So we encourage people to use these less chemical alternatives to meet their needs.
Now, does that work I've had aphids on my plants at home, and I often have just put them in the shower and sprayed them.
Absolutely.
With the shower thing.
Sure.
It works for a while, but they do come back.
They couldn't come back, but, you know, they might come back if you had ladybugs. You know, ladybugs is one of the classic beneficials to use for aphids on a tree, but when you think about it, the ladybugs need the aphids, so there's always going to be a few of the bugs there to make the ladybugs stick around. But if you use a knockdown spray, say, on a tree in your garden, it's going to really be effective for a long time. Knock it down, then pull that mulch away from the bottom. If you have mulched that tree, pull it away and those insects will die because they need that host. They need that plant host. So it's all about encouraging them to do it. I frankly think it's an easier way to do it.
So what are some gardening tips for people who are interested in using less and less water every year?
Well, mulch is one of the easiest things to do. You keep your soil moist underneath a natural organic mulch, which can be bark or pecan shells or straw or any kind of a row cover kind of a thing. That will require less water, particularly in your vegetable garden and in your trees. Now, there's always going to be a certain amount of water that gets needed, particularly in new plantings. So one of the things is to mulch. One of the things is to plant things that don't require a lot of water. Turf is what I consider a no-no. It's actually illegal in Santa Fe anyhow. So it's the choice of plants, it's how you care for them, siting them, using the right kind of a soil. In other words, I plant my vegetables in an amended soil, actually in a raised bed for a lot of different reasons.
What are the different reasons for using a raised bed?
Well, I don't have to get down on my hands and knees. That's one thing. The other thing is that I get to control my soil. And I will mix a little native soil into my beds, but I get to control that because I plant annuals, vegetables and flowers in my raised beds, and they are notorious feeders. So they need a really rich, porous, well-drained soil.
Notorious feeders, meaning they're hungry, they take the nutrients out of your soil?
Well, they need a lot of nourishment to grow and do their job. Carrots grow differently than, say, a native grass that grows over a period of years.
Right.
Annuals only have 1 year of season, 1 year of life, and so they take a lot of feeding to do that. So putting them in good, well-fertilized soil in the first place with a lot of compost in it, you're ahead of the game.
Are a lot of people making their own compost?
Absolutely.
I have a compost. I'm a terrible gardener, as we've discussed.
But you're composting.
Well, I have a compost bin. 1 year it caught on fire because it just wasn't very wet.
What were you putting in it?
Apparently charcoal briquettes, although I don't remember doing that, but that was what caught it on fire. But the can you do dry compost, or do you have to water it and put the worms in and all that stuff?
You don't have to put the worms in. It goes faster if you do, and you do have to keep it moist because that's the only way it's going to heat up and break down to make the compost. But so you don't have to put a lot of water in it. And what I do with my compost in one of my raised beds, and I put all kinds of green material and kitchen scraps and leaves and stuff from my garden in there. I have the worms in there. They're happily doing whatever they do. And I cover it with plastic so I'm not letting it dry off in the winds and in the sun, and it's in the shade.
Oh, okay.
And I spritz it with a little hose every now and then. I don't drip irrigate it. So, and it's doing really nicely.
So what are some plants that feed the soil? We've talked about legumes. Those put
right.
nitrogen back into the
yeah.
soil.
Nitrogen fixers. They're a good ground cover. In fact, I was just reading before I came here today about planting raspberries because I haven't done that in the past. And you can plant a nitrogen fixer underneath your raspberry plants, and you get all of that soil, the nitrogen retention in the soil. So that's one way of doing it. Then you can turn that crop under and let it decompose in the soil. And so you're then rebuilding your soil for that reason. So it does two different things. There are a number of plants out there that act in this way. And, of course, this is basically what compost is we're decomposing. We're doing it more intentionally. We're speeding it up by doing it in a bin or someplace, and then we're putting it back in the soil. So that's the most efficient way to use other plant material to nourish your gardens. Another really wise way is if you remember that the best mulch for any tree are the leaves that fall from it.
Right.
So take the leaves that fall instead of
raking them and throwing them out.
Leave them around your tree and let them decompose over the winter. It's the best nourishment for them. It's what they were designed to do.
And that makes a rather nice-looking mulch.
Yeah, I kind of like the way it looks. And it's really easy to do. I just rake it up, and then it blows away, and then I rake it up again every now and then. I like the way that it looks. So
we're talking to Jan Patterson of the Santa Fe Master Gardeners Association. Now, what about pruning? That is a fall or a spring thing or anytime you want?
That's a tricky question, and it's kind of a preference. Some people will say never prune a tree when it's actively growing. Others will say that's the best time to prune a tree because it heals faster. There are certain rules let's take flowering shrubs. There's a basic rule, two basic rules. Never reduce it by more than one-third of its growth, and do it at the right time. Like right now, you would never prune your spring flowering shrubs, like forsythia and lilac. They're about to come into bloom. So anytime something is finished blooming, you can then prune it to shape it, whatever you want, take out the dead material, renew it for the next year. But you do kind of have to know what each particular one wants to do. I prune all the time.
Do you really?
I prune all the time. In the spring, I will prune out the dead limbs from my trees and shape them to look nice, depending on what I want. In the fall, I will do the same thing for my trees. I, of course, don't prune my lilacs or forsythia or any of those spring bloomers right now. I wait. But I'm always shaping something. Buddleia, for instance, is something that if you don't prune it now, and you can take that all the way down to the ground, it's called renewal pruning, you can take it all the way down to the ground, and it will grow just as big as it ever was. I have one that's at least 15 feet tall. So I pruned that maybe a month ago, and it's budding out nicely and shaping out nicely. So a lot of it is kind of knowing what you've got and deciding.
What about silver lace? Somebody pruned my mother's silver lace to the point where I think there's nothing left of it.
It's hard to kill silver lace. It really is tough. Keep your eye on it. Silver lace is just budding out now, at least where I live on the south side of town. If you live into the middle of Santa Fe, it's warmer here, so it's coming out. There's really nothing you can do to a silver lace. Cut it down to the ground and it will come right back. So
really?
Not to worry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about growing food. Of course, if you are collecting water from your roof and putting it in rain barrels and tanks and so on, you can use that water. But then there's the problem of what I call the $5 tomatoes, where you spend so much water from the city drinking water system to water your little tomato plants that you might as well have just bought them, because it's you're not saving any money.
And that's true. Though I think a tomato off of one of my tomato plants at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, where it's warm from the sun, go in and peel that. I love peeled tomatoes, and make a salad out of it. There's just little things that are sweeter than that on an August afternoon in Santa Fe. So
it's worth it.
I think it's worth it. You can get varieties that you will never get in the market. You know whether where they've come from. If you've bought organic seed, you've grown it yourself, you haven't spent the amount of money it would for a big boy tomato at the market, that sort of thing. There's that satisfaction. So I find growing vegetables to be enormously satisfying, and I will continue to do that.
What vegetables do you grow?
I grow carrots and all kinds of herbs and tomatoes.
And how do you keep the bugs off them? For example, herbs. I tried to grow basil one year, and every single leaf got eaten.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, again, that depending on what's eating them.
They didn't grow the less. I mean, the basil's my favorite herb. They didn't eat my less favorite herbs. They didn't eat the parsley.
Sometimes you put one plant out and sacrifice it and grow. Put that one place and put the other basil plant somewhere else. Generally, basil is in pretty good shape. It could be that what you were growing it next to was what was attracting. And, you know, they're beneficial.
The hammock?
Well, possibly. Well, you should sit there in your hammock in general and wave the bugs off. Marigolds are great as a companion plant because a lot of insects don't like marigolds. They don't like to be around it. Garlic chives is another great companion plant. You can use the garlic chives. The little buds are wonderful in a salad. But a lot of insects don't like being around those. And so there's companion plantings that make a lot of sense, this being two of them. And certain things don't grow well together. Onions, for one thing, doesn't like to be, well, onions like to be next to everything, but most plants don't like to have onions next to them. But anyhow,
really?
They say,
oh, you have bad breath, we're not going to grow.
Probably. That's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that. But, you know, at the garden fair, if people have questions like this, if they really want to know specifics about what things to grow together, we got a lot of experts that are going to be there. Some of them are master gardeners, and some of them are nurserymen, and some of them are garden experts in the community. And this is a great kind of question to come. We'll have a demonstration on vegetable gardening, and these are the questions for people to come and ask, because an experimentation is always something that's fun. Get the kids involved, and you'd be surprised what you can grow in a square foot of box of soil. It's pretty amazing.
Now, do you have enthusiastic child gardeners?
Well, my children are grown, so...
But I mean, around you?
Yeah, I have a little four-year-old who likes to come over, and she likes my strawberries. So I have now dedicated an entire 10-foot raised bed to strawberries, so she can have some. And love it. It's just great.
Now, how do you become a master gardener, as opposed to a gardener?
Well, the association exists to serve the community. We are all volunteers. And one of the programs that we sponsor is the training of residents to become a master gardener. It's a 6-week course. It's actually going on right now. We have one in El Dorado and one in Santa Fe. And so you attend these half-day lectures for 16 weeks and take a little test at the end of each one and pass those successfully. And then at the end of that time, you're an intern for a year. And you volunteer a certain number of hours, 30 hours in the community on gardening projects. And then after that year, you become a master gardener.
And do you have to grow some beautiful or nutritious thing in order to get your degree?
No, not necessarily. Because we're really volunteers in the community, we work in gardens around the city. And our other public services that we have information booths and information hotlines that we staff so people can come and ask us questions. And then we have gardens that people can come and visit. For instance, we maintain the garden at the Audubon Center. And we have master gardeners up there who will answer questions. You can come and visit the garden and learn what it takes to have a butterfly-attracting, bird-attracting garden.
That's a teaser. What does it take to have a butterfly-attracting, bird-attracting garden?
Well, anything with seeds will attract birds.
But then they'll eat the seeds that you were trying to grow your...
But that's the point.
Okay.
Is that you feed the birds and the birds are there.
Why don't you just put out a bird feeder?
You could, but it's not nearly as much. Not nearly as pretty as having the birds flit around your trees and eat the berries. The shrub I mentioned a minute ago, Buddleia, is very popular for butterflies. They like the larva stage likes to eat that. And so there are certain plants that attract butterflies because that's what the larva like to eat. Milkweed is another one that's very popular. So it's all about kind of living with the nature that's around you. And what a great town to do that in. We have so many marvelous ways to do that.
And it's a way of learning about ecosystems. I was thinking about that when you said that if you want to have the ladybugs, there need to be some aphids for them to eat. And when you see all those chains of who eats who, what fertilizes what, learn that you're in one big, gigantic, complicated system.
Aren't you a little suspicious about lettuce that has no holes in it? It means it's been sprayed a lot.
Does it?
Yeah, except in my, well, my garden, I actually don't have any problem with that. But I don't mind lettuce with little wormholes in it because I know it hasn't been sprayed.
Interesting.
The perfect carrot, you know, doesn't
right.
really exist.
Right, right, right. Yeah, and of course we expect, I have a friend who calls the where they live, the local natural food store, one of those super expensive stores, they call it the food museum. Every single thing in it is so perfect.
It's perfect. It really is. It takes a lot to maintain that. So, you know, part of our theme this year is just grow it. And there's such an interest in people growing their own vegetables for all the reasons that I said a minute ago. And so we want to encourage everybody to do that this year. We've got a lot of people that can get you started. Though it doesn't, you know, you can garden, you can grow tomatoes in a container. In fact, sometimes they grow better because that soil heats up faster.
In a half a barrel.
In a half a barrel. I actually have lettuce growing in a half a whiskey barrel right now, ready to be harvested.
Jan Patterson is the president of the Santa Fe Master Gardeners Association, and the Garden Fair is on Saturday, April 25th from 10 to 4. It's sponsored by the Master Gardener Association and the Santa Fe Greenhouses. It's at the County Fairgrounds on 3229 Rodeo Road. There's all kinds of things from exhibits and demonstrations to lectures, plant sales, food and drink. We like refreshments, fun for kids. For more information, you can call...
Visit our website, please, www.sfmga.org. Everything is on our homepage that you want to know, including directions on how to get there.
Excellent. Jan Patterson, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a little break right now. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR.